الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. The second thing a person should also keep roza about, besides the three basics, is roza of the tongue. That is also very important, and to gain control of the tongue. And in this few days of Ramzan, if we manage to control our tongue by the barakat of this barakati days, inshallah our tongue will be controlled for the rest of the year and for the rest of our lives. With the tongue, it has been said that jismuhu saghir wa jurmuhu kabir. It is very small, the material, the body of the tongue, just a few centimeters and just a few grams in weight, but its sin is very, very great. Wa kadhalika ajruhu kabir. And also the body of the tongue is small, but the rewards of it also are very, very big. Which is with the tongue that a person makes tilawat of Quran Sharif. And we just heard what great rewards there are for tilawat of Quran Sharif. And with the tongue a person makes dhikrullah in fadaili zikr, the zikr kitab which we read every morning and night before starting zikr. What great rewards there are for zikr. That is all with the tongue. That jismuhu saghir, it is very small, but sajurmuhu wa ajruhu kabir. Very, very big are the rewards of the tongue also. So, and with the tongue, how many people get destroyed with the tongue? A simple example, that a person just utters the word of talaq to his wife and his whole life is destroyed. And he utters it three times, the children become widows, the wife becomes a divorcee, the man now, and they pine for one another. The children haven't got anyone to lead them, just by that word, just by the use of the tongue. So the control of the tongue is very, very important. It comes in a hadith sharif, a person speaks a word and he doesn't pay attention to it. It was just nothing. But it takes him to such depths of Jahannam that he just keeps on sinking into Jahannam all the time. And with the same tongue, a person says a word and he doesn't pay attention to it, and it takes him to the heights of Jannat, and he keeps on rising in Jannat. So the tongue, the control of the tongue is also very, very important. It's a famous saying that think before you speak. But unfortunately, in practice, it is the opposite. After we speak, then we say, I shouldn't have said that, or I should have said this. So we always, and it's not impossible, it's easily possible, but a little bit of training, a person, every occasion, he will think before he speaks. Which words must I use? Must I use this word? And when you think, you have a multiple choice of words also. And whether I must say it now, or whether I must say it some other time. Every occasion is not to say everything also. And then, must I say it, or must I get somebody else to say it? This person might dislike me, and because he dislikes me, so he's not going to accept what I say, even if it's the right thing. But if I get somebody who the person likes to say it, then that person will accept it. So all these things are very important, and training in this is absolutely essential. By buzurgs, this is one special training they give to their muridin, that to learn to control the tongue. The tongue, Allah Ta'ala has made, this is one part of the body that has got no bone in it. There is an indication in this that the words that are spoken must be also not hard. Bone is hard. So the words that are spoken with the tongue should be soft, should be mild. And it does not mean that you don't say the right thing again. What a beautiful example has been given, that compared with silk. The silk material is so soft, and so what a joy to hold it, to handle silk. But it is so strong that two elephants pulling, if there is a piece of silk is between two elephants and they're pulling apart, they won't be able to tear it apart. Silk is so strong. And in also, bulletproof vests are made with silk. If silk is bulletproof also. So how soft, isn't it? But how strong, isn't it? And if you consider another thing, that who has made the silk? The silk worm. That small little worm eating mulberry leaves, and it produces silk. And this little worm didn't go to any university, college, get a matric in order to understand how to make silk. But yes, university people go and learn from that silk worm how it's making silk. They will make the experiments, they'll go and study, they will do field studies, and they'll do everything. And who taught that little worm? And what is its material? The mulberry leaves. And from there, it produces the silk. No machinery. No, it doesn't have to worry of its workers going on strike. It doesn't have to worry of anything. And it produces silk. And what a thing, silk. So the words that we speak must be soft words. Must be kind words. We should try our utmost that a person mustn't catch us out on our words. That and at the same time, we must be firm also. Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was known to be so soft and so compassionate, and teach us that whether it is with your wife, whether it is with your workers. So one person in Makkah Sharif told Hazrat that, Hazrat, according to your teachings, if we will carry on with that, the wife will sit on the head, the workers will take over the business, they'll think they're the bosses, and they will start ruling the boss also. So Hazrat then explained that, when did I say that you must not say the truth? So Hazrat said a few things, precautions, whenever we want to put a wrong situation right. And a wrong situation, to put it right, there is a wrong way to put it right, and there is a right way to put it right. So we must not put a wrong, in a wrong way, put it right. It must be put right in the right way. One person, somebody stole his horse. He came to know who's got it. So he went again at night, scaled the wall to get the horse. So he was caught for trespassing of property and for stealing. So he did the right thing to go and get his horse back, but he did it in the wrong way. So you do the right thing, but do it also in the right way. So Hazrat explained that when something is wrong, the first and most important thing is, don't lose your temper. Yeah, if something, the wife does something wrong, the children, the workers, first thing we do is lose our temper. And then once a person has lost his temper, his tongue is out of control now. And imagine a car that is out of control. If you are driving a car at 200 kilometers per hour, but it's under in control, no problem. If the road is such and everything, and it's under control. But one person, the founder of Darul Uloom Newcastle, he had passed away. I think it was Mr. Vauda, very long ago. He was going to park his car in the garage, and he had his grandchild with him. So he got off the car to open the garage gate, or to close it or something. And he was at the back of the car, and just that little bit, that little incline into the garage, and the child, the automatic gear, he slipped it from park into reverse. And the car went back, no speed whatsoever. And the poor man got killed, shaheed he became. So when that car was out of control, that you can say zero speed, but what harm it got caused. And if under 200 kilometers it's under control, then no problem. If the road and conditions are right, the road conditions also are right, then and you can control and you have the ability to control it, no problem. But when it's out of control, the tongue, when a person loses his temper, the tongue is out of control. And the person afterwards, much later, he comes to realize what I spoke. And the second thing is, your mind is also out of control. And your emotions, your temperament is also under control. So when a wrong, and according to fiqh, it is a masala, For a ustad to punish his student, a parent to punish his student, is not jais when a person is in anger. But like a person who is in anger, there are few things that causes a mind to go out of control. Liquor, alcohol, when a person has drunk, then he is drunk and his mind is not in order. A drunk person when he is driving and he sees a car coming from in front, he sees two cars. And then he wonders, he thinks the two lights are two cars and both are coming towards him. So what he thinks the best thing is to go between the two. I got no other choice. So clear, head-on collision takes place. And he hits the car right on, alcohol. And the other thing is anger. Then also a person's mind is not in order. And the third thing is pride. When a person has got pride in him, then also his mind is not in his control. He's just imagined in a dream world. He's not in a world of reality. He's in a dream world. So therefore, Hazrat said, the first thing, that don't lose your temper. And if you have lost your temper, don't do anything at that time. Control yourself. And at a later time, then you speak to that person. The second thing which comes from temper, you become vulgar then. And so don't use vulgar words to put a thing right. Some people feel the only way you can handle some people is to be vulgar. And this is a very low mentality. There are those people in the family. And for example, we know of cases that when it was time to distribute the inheritance, they don't give their sisters, they don't give the mother. And whenever they ask, they just become vulgar. They raise their voices. And then those women say also that I can't take this when he loses his temper. And when he becomes so angry, so we rather just don't talk. The zulam, Allah will take care of that. There's people who make zulam. So even in the house with the wife, when we want our way, and how many husbands, men do wrong things. They know they are wrong. But just to keep that wife at bay, just to keep her under, they just become show that they are very angry and upset, and they start swearing and raise their voice and that. When one time Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu became angry, and he was speaking to his servant worker, and he, in an angry way, he didn't know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was behind him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Abu Bakr and this type of language, la'an, these two things never, siddiqiyat, and this year, these two things don't go together. When he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked for maaf. And then he said, it's good you ask for maaf in good time. Otherwise, Allah would have taken. And remember, the words of the hadith, unfortunately I don't remember, they're so beautiful here. They rhyme also so well that Allah has got more qudrat on you than what you have got qudrat on this person here. How you want to vent your anger, if Allah has to vent His anger on you, you don't stand a chance. You don't know what is hitting you from what side. Your problems, well, many people say, my problems don't just come to an end. It's problem after problem. It is our own doing. Bima kasabat aydikum. Our own doing. So anger is a terrible thing. So, and that vulgar language, and that we make ourselves like that. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, when a person comes home, he must come home cheerfully, happily, make salam cheerfully. But a dunyadar person, when he comes home, before he enters the house, he rubs his eyes, makes them like red, and he wants to show the family, I'm very cross today. And and he raises his voice and shouts that nobody must come near me, that to keep the children away from me, goes in the room, bangs the door, etc. That is not the way at all. And a person who's in deen, when he comes also, then he uses a big, extra big tasbih, and subhanallah, eyes closed. Subhanallah, that's not the way to enter the house. And that's not the time for your zikr also. That you must do at some other time. At this time when you enter the house, enter cheerfully, happily, make salam. And the family also replies salam cheerfully. Allah looks at that house with rahmat. But we want to show today I'm very cross than when you're entering the house. So the Hadrat said the second thing is don't control your language. Don't lose your language. Don't become vulgar. The third thing is, Hazrat said, explain the person, the wrong the person did. Sometimes it wasn't even a wrong. We got the wrong idea. Sometimes we cross on somebody, we saw the child doing that, but it wasn't the child, it was some other child. It looked to us. So find out the actual situation. A person did something which according to you he did wrong. Find out why did he do it. For example, the wife, whatever she had done, find out why she has done this. Get the reason. It may be for your well-being, but it's you don't understand. She doesn't understand. It's a confusion and misconceptions. What and what they lead to? Where there is ambiguity, where there is confusion. What huge accidents took place because of just little bit of misunderstanding. This misunderstanding is also a terrible thing. So first find out the actual thing. Was it this person? Did he do it? Why did he do it? And then the fourth thing is, show them the right way of doing it, or at least how you would like it to be done. Sometimes we don't clear the matter. We don't say exactly what we want done. We're just expecting it to be done. We must be explicit. So four things we have to do to put a wrong right. But normally what we do, we just lose our top and we start swearing and shouting, etc. That person in many cases doesn't even know that they have done wrong. And they just say, the old man is just again, he has lost his, they don't pay any attention to what you say. That the old man has just lost his head again, and he's just screaming and shouting again. This is his old habit. And also from here we learn that tarbiyat is not by, tarbiyat means nurturing, upbringing, to bring up our children properly, to train our workers properly, to train the wife. And this is, again another thing, remind me where I'm going off, that the upbringing and the nurturing of the wife also, it is from the first day when you get married. We shelve it for 1 week, we go on honeymoon. And then when we have spoiled everything, how many people, the children, we have spoiled them. Now when they are spoiled, then we say, I don't know what went wrong with the child. When people tell us, and we realize, when the child was small and in the great love of the child, love has to be there. But love does not mean you spoil the child. So just like that with the wife, the first week we put our feet in the wrong shoes. We start off the marriage in the wrong way. Hazrat Maulana As'ad Madani Rahmatullah Ali used to say this story quite a bit at the time of nikah occasions. There were two brothers who got married to two sisters. The sisters were extremely beautiful, but they had made a condition that whoever marries us, we'll take the shoe and give them 50 shots every night. So whoever is ready for this must get married to us. And they were extremely beautiful, where everyone wanted to marry them, but their condition was also a very, very hard condition. Anyway, these two brothers got ready, we'll get married. So when they got married, the one brother, he had a cat as a pet, and he kept it hungry. So the first night when the wife came and they were together in the bedroom, the cat started as usual because it was hungry, meowing and crying, etc. So he took his sword and just hit its head right off. So that wife said, yeah, I just don't want to take a chance here. When he's like this, then there's no chance for me. The other brother was collecting his 50 shots every night. So after some time, then the two sisters went home again to the mother's house. The two brothers were together. So the two sisters met and they asked, how is it? Are you giving your 50 shots? She said, I have no chance. The way he took out his sword and he killed that cat, I didn't look at the shoe also. No chance. And you? She said, I'm giving him his 50 shots. So then she said, and this side the two brothers discussed. So the other brother told, oh, this is a good plan. I'll also try it. So he also kept the cat hungry while she was still at the mother's house. When she came and he took out the sword, she told, it's too late. You should have done that the first night. Now it's too late. So mustn't do things so drastic, not that, but put your foot down from the beginning. We spoil everything from the start, and especially the honeymoon, where you allow everything goes wrong, and then you want to come and put it right. It's out of the question. And honeymoon is like two monkeys looking at the moon. And after 1 week, you fall out of the air and you come into reality. Then you realize, yeah, what life is. And then you realize, and you still expect, especially women who are more weaker minded, they still expect food to be ready, like they in the hotels, in the resorts, everything, the bed must be made up, that we don't have to do anything. But when they come into reality, and on top of it, they're facing the mother-in-law also, then they can't take it. And they just want to bring the marriage to an end at that time. So anyway, so Hazrat Ji, Rahmatullah Ali, had explained that these four things a person must do. So yes, in the tarbiyat of children, the workers, the wife, etc., iti buzurgs have written, bringing up children is more high, is to, you have to make your blood into water. Khun ka pani banana. That, what does it mean? We feel that something is wrong, just shout and scream and it's over. No, when something is wrong, you have to sit with that person. And you have to give that person time. Today parents haven't got time to give for their children. Workers, bosses just want production. They haven't got time to explain to their workers. They just want results all the time. You have to have time to explain to the person. Then you have to have the art of explaining that person. You have to understand أَنزِلُ النَّاسِ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. Every person, according to his level, you must speak to him. Otherwise, sometimes we speak, whether it is a bayan also, or whatever it is, and your whole bayan goes over the heads of the people. They don't get anything. One maulana, he's still living, he was very much into astronomy, about the stars, the moon. And this was very long ago, it was in Indonesia, and he gave a bayan, and he's just speaking about the sun and the moon and all that. Now the poor people, what do they know about astronomy? So one musalli of ours, who is still living and still here in Azadville, he comes, he's ill now, he doesn't come to the masjid. So he was a person always, he used to speak. So he got up and he told Maulana, please come down to earth now. You are too much in the skies now. Please come down to earth. So sometimes our bayans, we just go over the heads of the people. The same person, it was Ramzan month, and in Johannesburg New Town Masjid, there were those days, that was one of the major masjids, and a lot of people for namaz, even Zohar in Ramzan. So he came late, and he was about in the fifth, sixth saf, and there were afterwards another few people, another three, four safs that came up at the back. And the imam, when he came, he's got a habit of his vociferous. His voice is always make it known, his voice. So he joined the namaz, Allahu Akbar. And the people at the back thought that the imam said Allahu Akbar. And the imam was still in qiyam. And they all went back, the front people, all whole confusion. And after that, when the imam told Allahu Akbar, they reminded the imam, you have to say Sami Allahu Liman. Every once namaz went haywire. So this, so even the voice that say the right thing, but also at the right level also. The imam also, he must use his voice according to the majma. If there are two people behind him and he's screaming his head off, that's not right. And there are 10 serfs and he's whispering very softly. And don't use the mic unnecessarily. And according to many muftis, the use of the mic is not correct also. But even so, if those who give permission, two musallis and you use the mic. You don't need the mic at that time. And your built-in mic also, control it. That if there are just two people, according to that, there are more people, speak more louder. According to the need, a person, the level of his voice also must be. So anyway, so the upbringing of the children, of the workers, nurturing them, training them, needs time. And this time has to be given, and then speak to them properly, and make them understand. You don't become angry, you don't become vulgar, and you explain the mistake they have made, explain them, this you have done is a mistake here. Or perhaps you have done. Your driver, for example, this happens very commonly, he took 2 hours extra, he took half a day extra, the whole day, when he comes back, you are fuming and you burst out. Find out why did he be, why, what was the problem? Why are you 2 hours late? Or whatever else, get the reason from the person. And then when you see that he has made a mistake, explain to him properly. And in doing it in this way, then a person for good, I don't know myself, and I've seen with my eyes one great Mufti Sahib, who was also, who had a big, great temper also, and all these things. Ilm doesn't sort out our problem. You can have all the ilm about those ahadith of anger, etc. We must remember that ilm and deen are two separate things. We all know there are so many ulama students here. Ilmuddin, this is izafi tarqib, muzaf ilay. And one of the things in muzaf ilay is there is mughayarat, that the two things are different. It's not the same thing. Like in English, the leg of the table, the table's leg, the car's wheel. This is also genitive case, izafi tarqib. And the wheel is not the car. The leg of the table is not the table. It's a separate thing. But it makes one thing, but it is separate. Like that, ilm and deen are two separate things. Now, normally what happens throughout the world and over the ages, when a person got ilm, he thinks I've got deen. Ilm is separate. He's got ilm about namaz, but how many people who have got ilm of namaz, who doesn't know, who hasn't got knowledge that namaz is for us? But we don't make our namaz. Do we have the knowledge that to look at a strange woman is haram? Who doesn't know it? But to the amal of it, that is deen. That when a person, anger, that we must not have anger. That who doesn't know that? But to control that anger, that is when deen. So deen is a separate thing. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib, he had a terrible temper also. But what was the result? And he controlled his family with the iron fist. But we saw that on a Jummah, when they should go for Jummah namaz, then at home they should have a dance party in Mufti Sahib's house. Music blaring at Jummah time. And all strange people, men, women used to come in Mufti Sahib's house. And when he comes back again, everything is back to normal. So we can, if you rule with the iron fist, it's only in front of your face. And those people, you build in them that animosity and hatred for you by anger. And they want to, it's human nature, they want to show that, and they can't show it in front of you because of your temperament, etc. So when you're not there, they will do worse things. The children will do worse things. The wife will do worse things if we control her like that. The workers will do worse things. And they'll make a mockery out of you when you're not there. And if you take the time to teach them with love and kindness and they understand, then even in your absence, even when you have died, they will still cherish your teachings and they will carry on with it. But if it, you do it in with the iron fist, they in front of you, they will be very obedient, very meek like lambs. But behind you and in their hearts, they will hate you. And they will do things which you cannot imagine. So therefore, to control, there's a specific way. Some other people again, that many, this is also a very common thing, that you just stop speaking. You see your wife has done, she's not doing the things right, or she has upset you. Now you just give a silent treatment. You're not talking anything. Right? That's not going to solve the problem also. Look at when the things are heated, at that time you don't speak. But when things are again normal and that, or make it normal, go for a picnic, go for an outing, and in there, try and now explain that what is the problem, why I don't like this, I don't like this, it shouldn't be like this. Find out from them what their view, and in sorting out a problem, it is not our view that only counts. Many of us, we just want our view, what I think and what I say, that must go. But find out from, and why that person is acting like that, not why I thinking. Find out from, it's, a problem can be the easiest sorted out if you come to know that person who has done that, why has he done it. Find out his thinking, his reasoning, and from that now, put it now in your mind, put it on the table now. that he thinks that he's doing this for this reason here. Now you want it at the opposite way, the another way. Now you explain to that person from his reasoning, not from your reasoning. Like normally, parents, they are now 30 years, 40 years old. The child is 3 years old, 4 years old. Your reasoning is different. The child, what a gap there is. So find out the child's reasoning, and from his reasoning sort out the problem. You don't expect that 3-year, 5-year-old child to understand your reasoning of 40 years. How can the child ever understand that reasoning? You, 40 years, you can understand the 3-year reasoning. You can understand his 8-year-old reasoning. But he can't understand your reasoning. So look at the problem from the ustad in a class. He is teaching Nahwa for 10 years, 20 years. His Nahwa is on his fingertips. Those students are first-year students. They coming first time, they haven't heard these words before. And now don't look at it from what you know. Look at it from their point that they don't know anything. That will be the most successful. You're teaching somebody to drive. You're an experienced driver. You're a grandfather. You're teaching your grandson to drive. You are driving for 30, 40 years. His first time, he's so excited. He's sitting behind the steering. For him, he's so excited, he makes what mistakes? Instead of the accelerator, he'll press the brake. Instead of the brake, he's going to press the accelerator. So look at it from his point of view. Put yourself in his shoes. And then you can sort out a problem. But normally, and this because of our pride and lack of training, we look at a problem from our side. We don't even give it a thought to look at it from that side. So that ustad also who teaches in that way, that he looks at it from the student's point of view, he'll become a very successful student, ustad. And also, whether it is a sheikh also, whether it is a ustad, a parent, those who went through problems, they are the best teachers. Because they have gone through all these things. They understand it. They can then teach and handle those situations the best. A person, for example, who is made an honorary teacher, he never trained to be a teacher. How is he going to teach others? That is why, for example, especially with small children, grade 1 children, you have a professor of a university, he'll never be able to teach grade 1 children. But you've got a lady who hasn't got much training and much knowledge, she'll do a much more better job. Because women by nature, Allah has made them, they understand children much more better. So she will be able to do a much more better job there. So that is very, very important. So anyway, the tongue, we have to learn to control the tongue. And this vulgarity, and it just doesn't seem to come to an end also. How many complaints we get, continuously complaints from the wives, etc., and the husbands, even those who got khilafat and everything. But when anger comes, the khilafat also means nothing. And sohbat also, one king who trained his cats, 12 cats, 24 cats, he trained them in such a way, he showed his chief minister, what do you think of my training? And the 12 cats this side in a row and 12 this side, standing on their hind feet, their legs standing up. And on their head, he put candles and he lit them, and they just standing like that, like a walkway made of lights on both sides. So he asked the minister, what do you think of this training of mine? How I train this cats? So the minister told that everything, لِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ حَقِيقًا, that it has to be tested. So he brought a rat in a bag. It was still closed in the bag. But the antenna of the cats, it was working already, made contact that he has a mouse, a rat somewhere around here. And you could see the movement. And he hardly still opened the bag, and they forgot the 12 years training which he gave to them, and they ran. So when these conditions come, a person forgets everything. He doesn't. One lady in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was speaking something, somebody had passed away. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised her to make sabr. So she said, who are you? What do you know what I'm going through? Afterwards, somebody asked her, you know who's that? That's Allah's Nabi, Allah's Rasul. Then she became conscious. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-sabru inda sadmatil ula. At the beginning, at that time, afterwards, everyone gets sabr. So at that time, a person won't even see that it's my mother, it's my father, it's my ustad, it's my peer. And how many cases we hear also, when the woman complained, they say that, they say, we'll tell Hadrat, we'll tell Sheikh, they say, going to hell to him. In that anger, they forget everything, that who is he, what does he. So this anger is a terrible thing. So, and the expression and the muzahara, the expression of this anger comes from the tongue, on the face also, and then on the tongue. So to learn to control the tongue is very, very important. When a child was formed in the mother's womb, after 4 months, life comes in the child, and roughly, more or less 4 months, then about another 5 months, the child is still living in the mother's womb. And when they go for checkups, the mother, the doctor wants to see that there is life. They ask, do you feel movements? There must be life in the child, and there is life in the child. So when there is life, the child needs nourishment, needs food also. And Allah Ta'ala has made the food in His wisdom. And Allah's wisdom, who can question the wisdom of Allah? Allah made it the monthly menses of the mother. That Allah Ta'ala channeled it now direct to the child. And that is dirty blood that usually has to come out. It's dirty blood. But now it is the food for the child. There are great wisdoms in this. So one is, Allah made it connected directly to the navel of the child, the umbilical cord, and that is what has to be cut at the time of childbirth, and that is a connection between mother and child also, and the food was going through there. So in this way, Allah kept the tongue clear, that this tongue is going to read La ilaha illallah, the wahdaniyat and tawheed of Allah. This tongue will read Quran Sharif. This tongue going to make zikrullah. This tongue must not be polluted. So Allah had taken, so made so much intizam for the protection of the tongue that it must not become polluted. But now when the child is born, it's listening to all wrong things. And how many mothers, I heard myself in a shopping center, mother telling the child, swear that person. That whatever wrong they think they did, they're telling the child, swear that person. So the mother teaching the child all wrong things. So Allah kept the tongue pure. The other great wisdom that Allah has made, the menses, the monthlies of the mother, is that when you come in this world, don't think you are somebody great. وَهُوَ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنشَأَكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ So Allah says, don't think you are so pure. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا that I am وَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى that I am very powerful. I'm so good, I do this. Don't at all. He knows you when you were still ajinnatun fi butunium. When you were still ajinna, you were still that thing in your mother's womb. Allah knows you from then. What you actually now? I'm so handsome. I'm so beautiful. I'm this. I'm such a learned person. I'm so pure. I'm so clean. My taqwa. My this. Yeah. Who are you? And what are you made of? That you are made from sand, you are made from mud, you went to the stages of dirt and filth of blood and semen. That is from where? One time, Maulana Yusuf Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali, General Hatnawaz Saab, I don't know if he's still living, anyway, he explained to us, the first time he went for Ijtima and to Raiwind. So he was sitting right in front because he was a general in the army, the air force, and VIP treatment they let him sit. So he spoke out a bit loud. He says that, like everywhere else, the speaker is introduced. There is who is the speaker? So he said the speaker should be introduced. When Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullahi was giving the bayan, so he said, I'll introduce myself. So he says that I was born from a dirty sperm of semen. My history is that I was sand and mud, I was dirty blood, I was semen, and Allah Ta'ala molded me. I'm here in this world for a while, and I'll go back to the grave again. There the ants will eat me up, and if a person, I'll be just a skeleton again in the qabr. My meat will fall off. This is in humbleness, but the naked people, Allah keep their bodies also intact. He said that I will be just, and yeah, in this world, a person might think I'm so handsome and so beautiful, just have an x-ray done of your head. You'll want to run away from that same, what you see in that x-ray, you'll want to run away from that. Allah in His kindness put flesh on us, on our bones, put skin on there. And many of us, even with our flesh and skin, especially how many men, generally more, even women, we go right out of shape, big, big stomachs. And if you look at yourself like that with your stomach, then with the big kurta, you just hide everything. And what your shape is, and we think we are so nice, but what are we? So Allah Ta'ala made the mother's monthly menses, so that whole life we mustn't think, my material of which I've been made is this filth and dirt. Where can I think of? So humility, humbleness, no matter what you achieve, that I am absolutely nothing. So the child, Allah Ta'ala made it, that his mouth Allah Ta'ala kept pure and clean. Then Allah Ta'ala again made what intizam? Like any country, if they got nuclear weapons, it does not mean even the president of the country can just go and press a button and let the bomb go, nuclear bombs, and they can go and cause destruction. It is kept door after door, and it is kept so well guarded, so well protected, and the whole parliament will have to pass it that now. And then, with everyone's approval, now the president can go and he'll get permission. Those keys are not in his hands also, that he can just go and press the button. So just like that, the tongue, which is Allahu Akbar, one word of the tongue is worse, can cause more harm than what nuclear bombs can cause. So Allah also kept it under great protection. The protection Allah kept it first is under 32 teeth. And sometimes if a person bites his tongue, he feels that pain, and what a pain it is. And this 32 teeth also, and yeah, also a sign of Allah's great Qudrat. It can be a Chinese man, it can be a Sudanese man, it can be a Brazilian, whoever, all Allah gave 32 teeth. And all the teeth are the same. That we have in front, yeah, all the two teeth at the bottom in front, what do you call them? Incisors. And then the canines, eight again, two on top, two on four sides. Then the molars at the back. All this Allah Ta'ala has made, and it is like a riot squad, police, riot squad. When there are riots somewhere, they come with different type of weapons there to control that riot. So these are police also, 32 police. And they have got different weapons. The front teeth are different, the canines are sharp pointed different, the molars are different. All there to protect the tongue. And every morning, the whole body tells to the tongue that please today you guard yourself. You stay straight, we all will stay straight. If you go crooked and you do wrong, we suffer the consequences. For example, you insult somebody, you fight with, you swear somebody, that person comes and gives you one kick. He doesn't kick your tongue. The damage was done by the tongue. But he doesn't come and pull your tongue out or kick your tongue or give your tongue one slap. He'll kick you at the back or he'll kick or hit you or whatever. And who? The tongue caused it all. A person with his tongue, he gives one divorce to his wife, and there his wife, the children, the two families, the commotion in the town, everything, what and what, just by the action of the tongue. So the tongue has to be controlled. So Allah put a whole police force, riot squad, continuously to look after the tongue, to control the tongue. And that was not enough. When the police cannot handle a situation, the army is called in. So the two jaws Allah put, they're like two squadrons of the army all the time. They are not in their barracks, and only at the time of emergency they come out here onto the where the trouble is. The whole police force, the riot squad and the army, two squadrons, are all the time guarding the tongue, all the time. And now and then every person bites his tongue to give you a taste that if you speak wrong. So they are there to control. So how much mustn't we control this tongue? Tongue is very important to control. The words that we speak, Haji Ibdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Alayhi has written a very interesting story in poetic form. He says there was a king who wanted his son to become an alim. In the days of before, wealthy people, kings also had lot of deen in them, and the children also, deen was in the families also. So in those days there were no Darul Ulooms, and how the system of today, you send your son to a alim, and that alim would teach him. He will stay there 10 years, 15 years with that alim. He will stay in his house and he will learn there. So he learned in that way. He became an alim. The king was very happy. My son is an alim today. He's graduated. And he made a very big dawat. So he told the son, give some bayan. The son couldn't. He said, one, two ayat of the Quran, make tarjuma. One, two hadith. But the son just absolutely nothing. Dumb, dumb, dumb. So the king thought he's got stage fright. I've called so big ulama here today. He's frightened to speak in front of them. He left it. But then he saw he's still not speaking in the house. Then he handed the matter over to the ministers, handled the boy, see the, what's the problem, why isn't he speaking. So in the process, they went for a picnic, a hunting spree, to go hunting. When you are light in your moods and that, then it's different. So as they were going, the whole group, kafla, the caravan for hunting, they passed by a partridge. And they didn't see the partridge. And partridge meat is very delicious to eat and very healthy also. But they didn't see it and they passed. After they passed, the partridge made its sound. The sound of... Then they, oh, there's a partridge here. They came back, they found the partridge, they hunted it. Then the boy spoke. He said, as long as you were silent, your life was safe. The minute you made your sound, you spoke, then your life was taken away. So that was one small thing for the whole group. They heard the boy can speak. Immediately they returned back to the palace, told the king, the boy spoke and we all heard, and everyone was eager. I must be the first one to tell the king, and I must come in his good books that we heard the boy speaking. So the king was very happy he can speak. So again another very big dawat he made. And he invited people again. He told the boy speak. Again he didn't speak. Coaxing him, encouraging him, but he just wouldn't speak. Then the king said, he can speak, he's pretending. So he told the jallad, the person who gives punishment in the palace, give him 100 lashes, because he can speak. When they gave the 100 lashes, then he spoke again. And what did he speak? He said that partridge, when it spoke once, it lost its life. I spoke once, I got 100 lashes. And those people who are making buck buck chuck chuck all the time in their life, and what will happen to them on the day of Qiyamah? مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That you don't speak a word, but the two farishta sentinels are here, kiram and katibin, and they write down everything. And in which way do they write? One person made dua to Allah, Ya Allah, let me see the nizam of this kiram and katibin. And yeah, this is also very important. Inshallah, we'll carry on from here just now. That when we make salam in our namaz, we must make every namaz, our own namaz, jamaat namaz, make niyat of the kiram and katibin. Today we don't. If I make salam to a small boy, and you don't look at him, you are talking to somebody else, that small boy gets offended. If the receiver has to send his true man to your business to see how you're conducting your business, how you receiving your money, how you are making your deposits, how you make it, everything they are checking. You'll tell your wife, make the best samosas you ever could make in your life. Make the best biryani. So they must write a good report. Yet the two receivers, the CIDs of Allah Ta'ala, are continuously with us. And we don't even notice them. We don't even think of them. We just ignore them totally. So much so that even when we make salam to them, we don't look at them. How many of us, when we make salam, then in namaz, when we go, then we go a little front and we make salam, as though we want to see who's here today. For Fajr, we taking roll call, who came, who didn't come. And on this side, and the salam method is that we should turn our head properly, completely, as much as we can. A scientist writes, the best exercise of the heart is the salam. But not just this little bit, we just, that also our pride, just little bit like this. We make salam, in the fiqh kitabs it's written, that the whiteness of the cheek can be seen by the people of the back. That you turn your head completely, and don't bring your shoulder front. Some people we make the shoulder. All people got their different habits. Some people while driving, And they turning to the right, they also turning like this. And when they go to the left, they also turn. You don't have to turn, that the car will turn. And when they overtake, they go in front. Especially when it's like an emergency, narrow gap to get in, they also go front. And some emergency and they brake, they also go back. So you don't have to do all that. You must just remain normal. In your namaz also, you don't bring your shoulders front. And don't you move front. You sit on your place and you turn your head completely. And the way of salam is, the first salam starts from the front here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And it's not finished. The words are finished, the salam is not finished. Then you bring your head back to the middle here again. This is all in detail in Ibn Abidin Shami, Fatawa Shamiya, which our Shaykh Damat Barakatum taught us practically. Theory also and practical. Your second salam starts from here again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The words have ended, your salam is not finished up. You bring your head back to the front, now your salam is completed. One imam in Surat in India, there was a mutawalli who was in charge of 7-8 masjids. So he should make namaz in all different masjids to check on the imams, whether they are there, how they making their namaz, etc. So at this time he made namaz behind this imam and he made his second salam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and immediately from here, who scored him? Who scored? What score? What score? That who hit six and how many wickets gone? The imam said, the mutawalli was present. He said, before score, you are fired. What kind of namaz you made? Your whole namaz was in cricket. So what kind of namaz you made? And how many women, when they make the salam, beti, dekhna dekchi ko, dekhna patila ko, check the stove, the roti mustn't burn, the pot mustn't burn. The salam is not finished and we are talking already. So the salam must be made properly. So, what were we saying? So when we in the salam, our niyat also, that if we are making our own salam, we make salam for kiram and katibin. And if we are making in jamaat namaz, if the imam on whichever side, we make his niyat also. If he's in front of us, both sides we make his niyat. Then all the musallis together with all the jinnat also, they also come for namaz. Make their niyat on both sides also. And one great, great benefit of this that the person will acquire is that the alam-e-ghayb and the nizam-e-ghayb, the takweeni nizam of Allah, that will also come in front of us. When we are reminded in every salam of the malaika, they are ashab-e-ghayb. We don't see them with our eyes. Then, and there is one system of this world that is working. I go and work, I get my wages, I buy my groceries, I pay my rent, etc. That is one system which we see with our eyes. Then there is a system of Allah that is working over the system. And that system is superimposed over this system. That is the superior system. And everything is under that system. Whether I'm taking my child to the doctor, going to hospital, I'm just going for my work to town, that is our system here. But there is a system of Allah that is working much more intense and much more intricate and much more secret. It is working, Allah's system. And we our iman teaches us that. But how we refresh that in our namaz is when we make salam to the tufat. And a person who will make the niyat of the farishas, in a few days Allah's nizam and Allah's qudrat and Allah's zat will be in front of him. For such a person, to control his tongue will become easy also. What he speaks, because now Allah is in front. But Allah is not in front of a person. A person is free. He does as he wants to. So it's very important. And the salam words also must be properly. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. In the ummat, the jahalat, the ignorance of the ummat also is mas'al amanul hafid. On the one side, for example, women feel if you take the husband's name, then there are those ignorant women that divorce takes place. You must have so much respect for your husband, you can't take his name. If you take his name, talaq from the woman's side, and just by taking the name of the husband. And on the other extreme again, no respect for the husband. He's just like anyone. Muhammad, come here. Muhammad, and which is coming very common. To take the husband's name without necessity is su'e adab, bi' adabi, is showing disrespect to the husband. So the wife shouldn't just take the husband's name unless of necessity, then she takes the name. So one woman who had that, that if you take the husband's name, divorce falls. And her husband's name happened to be Rahmatullah. So she, when she makes salam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, if I say Rahmatullah, divorce will take place. So I can't take my husband's name. So she, the child's name was Ghuniya. So she should say, Assalamu alaikum Ghuniya ka Abba. The father of Ghuniya. So what jahalat there is in the ummah. So anyway, we make niyat of the farishtas, the kiram and katibin. Then Allah's istizar will come. The alim-e-ghayb, that whole system of ghayb and that nizam of ghayb. Like we read in the tafsir, we read last night and we heard this morning about Khadir alayhi salam. That is all ashabi ghayb. Their nizam is different. What they do, hold that system, we will become conscious of it, we will come to understand that system. So, therefore... on what it is? The nizam of kiraman katimin. So anyway, when we are... No, but on related to the tongue. Yeah, right, Jazakumullah. The farishtas, they are noting every word. So this person made dua to Allah, that Ya Allah, I want to see how they know. So Allah showed him, Allah accepted his dua. So he saw them, so he said, Assalamu alaikum. No reply, they wrote down, Assalamu alaikum. He said, you don't reply? No reply. They wrote down, you don't reply? You write down everything. They wrote down, you write down everything. Today is easy to understand, with a video, with a tape recorder, with all this here, that everything is recorded. But their recording is much more perfect than what a video machine can record, than what a tape recorder can record. And everything, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ حَتِيدٌ. They are writing everything. Everything is being videoed. And on Qiyamah Day, it will play out on the real big screen. There is no big screen in this dunya. Qiyamah Day, when your wife will see every action of yours, your mother will see every action of yours, everyone will see every action of what was done, and it will be played out on the big screen. Illa man tab. However, a person who makes tawbah, Allah destroys all that files. All those videos and CDs and cassettes, all those records, as soon as we make sincere tawbah, Allah destroys it and we won't be even asked. But if we don't make tawbah, it will be presented there. So the tongue, we have to control the tongue. May Allah give us tawfiq and to learn to control. We'll carry on inshallah tomorrow. May Allah give us tawfiq inshallah. Subhanallah.